The Lord responded, yes, because these people thought that tithes and offerings were not important when my word commands it. My word shows it as a command. In Malachi 3, 8 and 9, it says, this is Jesus talking, will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how are we, have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings, you are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. The Lord told me that when his people withhold their tithes, it hinders the work of the Lord. And then the gospel's not preached. Now, could you see how that would happen? Now, let's just think up a scenario. Let's say your tithes and offerings are enough to pay the rent for this church. Just enough to cover the rent. Because half the congregation don't give their tithes and offerings. You say, well, how's that hindering the gospel? Let's say that everybody paid their tithes and offerings and we had double that amount. We had a whole bunch of money left over to buy more stamps to mail out salvation letters to people. Would that not promote the gospel? Absolutely. There's a 50-50 shot with every one of those people to get born again. We've had testimony of people. The woman said she just reads a letter every day. She loved it so much. Just that short letter. It's just her hope. 50-50 shot with it. Just 50 cents is a 50-50 shot for an eternal soul. You can't even put a cost on an eternal soul. And there's many other ways, you know. If you've seen how much income came into this church last year, I'd have to confirm with Michelle, but we gave a majority of it back out to other ministries. You mean my tithes and offerings come in and they go back out to more tithes and offerings? You better believe it, we give a lot of money away. In fact, just like I told you, our goal was to give more. This 2015 is over now, but we wanted to give more in 2015 than we did in 2014, and we did it. We did it. We believed God for it, to be able to give more. You say, I don't even give my tithes and offerings, and you're believing God to give thousands of dollars? Well, you better believe it. We give car away, brand new car. We do all sorts of nice things for people. Why? Because we're born again. We love Jesus. Amen. I wish I had more money to give. I'm going to believe him to give more than I did in 2015 for 2016 should the rapture not take place. That should be your goal. You should be believing God like that. That's a loving heart. He says, the Lord told me that when his people withhold their tithes, it hinders the work of the Lord and then the gospel's not preached. People in this place suffer. Listen very carefully. People in this place, people who don't give their tithes and offerings, suffered 1,000 times worse than others. 1,000 times, it's bad enough to suffer one time. 1,000 times worse than others because they knew the word of the Lord and disobeyed. In other words, the preacher told them, you're supposed to give your tithes and offerings, and it's not important. I'm not going to do that. That's Old Testament. Say all sorts of foolish things. So, we want to take this seriously. I shouldn't even have to preach it this strong, but when we consistently, year after year, people are not consistent in their tithes, you're robbing God. And why you do it, it's stubborn heart. It has to be, because I don't even have to, nobody has to remind me to give my tithes. For instance, when Michelle's paycheck comes in, it's direct deposit. She texts me and says, what did God tell you we should give on this? And before she goes to the grocery store that afternoon, right immediately after work, before she goes there, we tithe online. I wouldn't say tithe online. Every single time. Now, if you're that fleshy that you still got to spend your money and you just absolutely cannot wait to get to church to give your tithe first, we have PayPal on our account. You can do it. There's no reason why you shouldn't be able to do that. If that's going to help you to be consistent with your tithing, then go on and use the website. It's what it's there for. You say, I'm still not going to do it. You might want to go read the testimony again. The blood is on your own heads. I have warned you. Okay? The tithes and offering belong to God. 10% belong to... A tithe is 10%, to make it very clear. Sounds like you're trying to scare me into doing it. I'm just trying to warn you what the Bible says. Because tax time's coming and God told me to put this message in me today. And the only reason he would do that is because some of you were ready to take your own money and do what you wanted with it is what was going to happen. Guaranteed. So I encourage you to go read this testimony. It's absolutely incredible in detail and scriptural. Lots of scriptures. So the money doesn't really belong to you. If you're in a type of intimate relationship with God, you shouldn't be a stingy person. Okay? Born-again believers are generous people. Michelle and I don't like to sit here and sound like I'm bragging or something, but we give to a lot of different things. And when needs arise or people come to us and they need help, we pray about it and we just see what we can do to help people. We buy people things. If they can't even afford CDs for the Bible or something, we'll buy you what you need. We've took up offerings. I've bought people work boots, $100-something work boots. Took up an offering once. It was the biggest offering. The church itself, listen to this, the church itself, nobody had been tithing and giving because someone, it was a need. God said, take up an offering to that person. Maybe $150 is in there. We hadn't seen any offerings in a long time for the church. And we could have very, very much used them at the time. I said, everybody get out your wallets. I could just imagine what went through everybody's head at that time. I said, everybody get out your wallet right now. I said, God wants to do something. And I said, everybody put something in here. And then when it was all done, they're thinking, what is this? Some people were excited to do it. Some people were wondering what this greedy preacher's doing. Then I said, God told me to give this to you. And I didn't count it. It was probably $150. So we're generous people. And God wants us to have a generous heart. And He doesn't want us to have to do it out of fear. He wants us to do it because we love God. Everyone say, love God. If you love God, you will obey Him. Not because you have to anymore. We're not under law. It's not like we should have to preach this at you as if you have to do it. You should do it just because you simply love God. You do love Him, right? Then why does that greed got such a hold of you that you can't give your tithes and offerings? Now I can tell you how to get free from the greed. Pastor Dan, to be honest with you, after hearing this, I've not... One says, I've given my tithes, but I've not given my offerings. Another says, to be realistic, I've been stingy. I haven't even given all my tithes. I haven't been consistent. How can I get set free from that greed, Pastor Dan, that stinginess? I can tell you how. By simply obeying God and giving your tithes and offerings. It'll break that spirit of greed off you. But if you've been doing that and you've been wishy-washy in your giving, it's going to be a fight with your flesh. And the devil's going to fight you too because he wants to take you to hell, apparently. Now, God is very merciful. He's very compassionate. He's a very loving God. But when people come to that place in Him where they know that they should be doing it, but they obey the devil on their shoulder or their flesh instead of obey God, He holds that person accountable. You saw that He said this, that there'd be, in Luke chapter 12, He said it, He's been entrusted with much, much more will be demanded. He who knows his master's will and does not do what he wants and does not get ready will be beaten with many blows, He said. So we know this is a church. We obey God in this church. This is what we do because there's no other way to do it. Just want to encourage you to consider what was said tonight and to make the right choice. Okay? What if I haven't given the last 6 months? Do I got to make up for it all? Do I got to come up with all that money and pay it back? Just repent of it and move on. Okay? But take it seriously as if it is a sin, because the Bible says, he who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. It's a sin to not give your tithes and offerings. Apparently, God takes it a step further. He says it's robbery. So, don't be a stingy person where we got to even talk about finances. There's too much to be talked about. To be sitting here talking about finances. But God wanted this talked about. It's an important subject because He wants you to be. First of all, He wants you to do it not out of fear. He wants you to do it because you love Him. Second of all, He wants you to do it in faith. Because He wants to bless you financially this year. But I'm scared, Pastor. I know it's scary to do things by faith. It is. It's a stretch. It's not always comfortable to do things when God tells you, you give me the 10% and I'm going to make more out of your 90% than you would have had with the 100. The math doesn't make sense, does it? But some of you might have tried this for a couple months, and you might have seen that sure enough, by the end of the month, you had more money left over than you did the prior month. Somebody says, it's not working for me. I've been doing it for 3 years now. It's not working for me. Well, look at your attitude. You don't have any faith in it. You see? You got to do it in faith. You should worship God. You know, when we went to Rhema Bible Church, they had a confession that we said every time. And they took off offerings. We don't really take up offerings. We just let the free will offering, the basket sits up here. But they'd say a powerful confession over the offering. They said, we do this because we love God. And everybody had a smile on their face. Thousands of people were happy to give. So we should be happy to give. It says this, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each one should give whatever he's decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Let me read it to you from the Amplified Version. We'll close right now. This is from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. He says this, but I say, he that that's a King James Version. Remember this, he who sows sparingly and grudgingly, oh man, I just hate this giving of tithes and offerings of God. He who sows sparingly and grudgingly will also reap sparingly and grudgingly. And he who sows generously, that blessings may come to someone, will also reap generously and with blessings. Let each one give what he's made up in his own mind and purpose in his heart, not reluctantly or sorrowfully or under compulsion. In other words, God doesn't have to drag you by the ear. The preacher doesn't have to talk you into it. You just do it because you love God. Then he says this, not sorrowfully or under compulsion, for God loves, he takes pleasure in, prizes above all other things, prizes above other things, and is unwilling to abandon, or to do without a cheerful, joyous, prompt to do it giver, those whose heart is in his giving. A hilarious giver. Amen. God wants you to do it with a smile on your face, not have to. He wants you to be happy about it. Why? Because you trust God. Because you love God. So I don't want you to be operating and doing things out of fear. Let's get our hearts right with God so we can do things because we love God. We don't give under law like they did in the Old Testament. We give by nature. The laws, he said, I'll write my laws in their hearts and write them on their minds. His Ten Commandments have become part of our new nature, our born-again spirit. In other words, it should be natural for us to just, out of a loving, pure heart, to obey God. And when it's not, then fasting and prayer comes into play because there's some kind of demonic spirit trying to influence you to do what's wrong because he wants to kill you. It's the only reason the devil comes, Jesus said. Is this. He said, for this purpose he comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. He wants to, influencing you not to give your tithes and offerings, he wants to steal from you. And if it gets to that level where God just expects it from you, he wants to kill and destroy you for eternity. But he wants to steal the blessings that God has in store for you in your finances, for your household. He wants to steal from you by influencing you not to be generous. Well, if I'm generous, why is he stealing from me? Because you're disobeying God and it opens up the door for the curse to come on you. We've been redeemed from the curse, but it requires full obedience, which God expects from us now that we're born again. So let's do what's right in this year with our finances and just obey God. Take a step of faith and challenge God. He says, if you read about it in Malachi chapter 3, he says to challenge me on this. See that I will not open up the storehouse and pour you out a blessing you don't have room enough to receive it. And he will do that. He'll multiply it if you do it in faith. Now, if you walk around grumbling, he said, it's not working for you because your words are stout against me. They were cursing it. See, we give our tithes, God doesn't bless us. You're cursing yourself. Watch your words. See, it's working. It really is. See, the tithe really is working. You watch and see. There is nobody who's been consistent in their tithing who God has not blessed financially. It's impossible. You cannot outgive God. Can't do it. So obey him. I encourage you also to read. If you haven't read it, or if you've read it and it's been a few months, read it again, the Seven Columbia Youths. It's an awesome testimony. Absolutely awesome. He also took him to heaven. So read both sides. It may take you a couple days, but check it out.